Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we have another great show for you today. Back in the studio, we have Yasmin Giandelli with us. And later in the show, we'll be talking with Kent Hill with Kent's Country Cookies and also David Weiser with Creative Impressions. But first up, Yasmin, welcome back.
Thanks.
You just ran in here at the last second. We love it. I was wondering where you were.
I got stuck in that wonderful Atlanta traffic.
Yeah, you never know. It's like the weather. The traffic varies day to day, and the weather varies day to day.
It took me about an hour to drive something that usually takes me 20 minutes. So.
Wow. Well, you made it here in just in time, so you're here.
I know how to make a grand entrance, don't I?
Definitely. So what have you been up to since last time we talked to you?
Well, you know what? Just helping Metro Atlanta business owners achieve their dream of transitioning to the next phase in their life, and helping on the other side of the coin, helping Metro Atlanta entrepreneurs achieve their dream of owning their own business.
Definitely. Well, I was talking to David earlier, and he's one of your former clients.
Yes, he was. Really enjoyed working with David. So when you guys were kind enough to invite me back on with a guest, I immediately thought of David, because working with him was really a joy. I enjoyed it. And the majority of buyers that we work with are first-time buyers, have never bought a business mm-hmm. before, never owned a business before. And David was a prime example of that. He had a corporate job, and I don't know if we want to say with whom.
They're very nearby.
Company X.
And he came to meet me one day, and we just started talking, and it was a long-term plan for him. He was like, I'm not going to buy a business right now. I just want to know how to do it and how to get the process started and how to prepare myself. And as we were talking, I said, you know what? This opportunity that I have might be a really good fit for you. Are you interested in exploring it further? And now here we are, and he's able to double the business and just almost triple the business in just a short period of time. And I'm really proud of what he's done, and I think he's a prime example of what the entrepreneurial spirit is, and how a business owner with a good focus and a good business plan can really take a business up to the next level.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to him in just a little bit. But tell us, just walk us through the engagement again with Starwood Business Group for mm-hmm. our listeners out there.
Sure. Well, we've got a couple of different processes. So the first thing for our seller clients is folks who are interested in selling a business that they own, is to contact us and reach out to us to schedule a complimentary consultation. We'll discuss their business, the background, why they're thinking about selling the business, and we'll also provide them with a complimentary valuation for the business. Mm-hmm. Now, the majority of businesses that we sell in my office end up selling for an average of 90% of the asking price.
Okay.
And that's a pretty darn good average. And because we don't like to waste our time overpricing businesses, and we don't underprice the business either to leave money on the table for the sellers. So by the time a good qualified buyer comes around, you know, starts doing some due diligence and research, said, you know what, this business is priced nice. I mean, it's mm-hmm. right in that sweet spot. So that's the first part of the process, is going through that business valuation and determining with the business owner if this is the right time and the right price to sell their business. If it's the right time, then we proceed forward. We sign the engagement agreement, and then we proceed to market the business for sale confidentially, and then handling the prospective buyers as they come along.
Okay. How often do you find that the guy that started his business, bootstrapped it, and he worked in, he's like, well, I ate beans for a whole year out of a can, and I wasn't making any money. Does he normally value that emotion? Does he put that emotional stuff into his business and try to put that into the value?
Well, sure. You have that's part of our process as well. We do talk to a lot of business owners that unfortunately have unrealistic expectations of what their business is worth. But that's up to us as professionals. They're coming to us for a reason. We know what we're doing. And so it's up to us as professionals to guide them and educate them and say, I understand how you feel and your business is valuable, but you know, the fact of the matter is you want to sell it, so this is really what it's
exactly.
worth.
Exactly, and Google doesn't come knocking at the door every day to give you $1.6 billion or something.
We talked about that last time, you know, all those things that make the news because they are news, and unfortunately that happens, like, oh, well, you know, somebody's going to come and give me $50 million for this. Right, yeah.
Exactly. So what kind of businesses do you guys work with? Do you work mainly with franchises or just small businesses that sort of want to work it up?
We work with all kinds of businesses. We don't limit ourselves to any particular size or industry of business. It's all across the board, from manufacturing to retail to service to consulting, you name it. We work with everything.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So What's a good rule of thumb for a business owner? What numbers should he look at in his financials that he can sort of put into a formula and see how much his business maybe is roughly estimated cost?
Sure. Well, you know, in the industry, there's a saying, rules of thumb are only good for valuing thumbs. Ha, 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 ha. Right, David?
Very good.
Yeah. But generally, it really depends on the industry. Every industry is different, has different markers for valuation and multiples. And it also, you know, depends on the business. And the more money that the business makes, the more it's going to be worth. But really, the driving factor behind the value of a business is going to be the cash flow of the business.
So, okay.
That's the most important number. So, you know, schedule a time to talk to us. We'll teach you how to calculate that cash flow figure, and then you'll be able to really get a handle on what your business is worth. Because we've all seen businesses that make, you know, $5, $10 million a year in revenue, but they can barely keep anything to the bottom line. So that $10 million really isn't worth very much.
Okay. So also, how do you coach up these people? What part of the process do you want businesses coming to you? Do you want them in when they're midway through their business plan or right when they're getting started so they can think of an exit strategy? What's the best time for them to come?
They're always welcome to call us. We love working with business owners in all stages of their ownership cycle. Whether they're just starting up, like you said, it's always good to have an exit strategy in place. And because I mentioned earlier, the majority of our business buyers are first-time buyers. You know, a lot of them don't necessarily may not know some of these calculations, how to do the financials, how to all these valuation things. So it's good for them to get a handle on these details as they get into business ownership. And then, of course, if the timing and the price isn't right to sell, then at least we have a process for them to follow.
All right. So what process do these buyers go through? You have all these companies, these great companies, and you sort of go to the buyer. Does the buyer sit down and go flip through a manual and read it? Oh, this looks like a good one. Or do they get to sort of go to the business, check out the day-to-day operations and how it runs?
Sure. Well, you know, we have several dozen websites on which we advertise our businesses for sale. In addition to that, we have a database of thousands of people that we contact when we have new opportunities available. And so when we have somebody who's interested, the first thing we do is invite them into the office so we can sit down and talk to them and meet them and find out what their background is and what their skills are and what they're looking for, their goals. We have them, of course, sign the necessary paperwork, the confidentiality agreement. We get a financial statement from them, and we discuss, you know, what are you looking for? What are your goals? What do you feel your strengths are? What are your skills and your background? And then a lot of times what happens is a buyer will contact me on a particular business, and then after talking to them, I'll say, you know what, Bob, I think this business may not be the best fit for you. Have you ever thought of this? So it's my job to expose them to opportunities they may not have otherwise considered. And so once we get through that initial pre-qualification process, we determine if it's appropriate to involve the seller and visit the business and tour the facility.
You're like a matchmaking company.
Something like that.
It's like Match.com for businesses.
I like that, yeah.
Definitely. So let's say the transaction goes through, do you stay in touch with these people, make sure they're doing well, or what's the next step?
Yeah, well, you know, the first couple of months after a transition occurs are always a little bit hectic, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. just getting used to getting their feet wet and getting used to the business, and then the employees are getting used to the new owner. So we try to give them a little bit of space to just, you know, get fit into their new environment. And then we do keep in touch. Like Dave here, I mean, he bought his business, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Yeah, in 2011.
So, you know, we keep in touch, and how's it going? And if I can help you, I'd be happy to. So that's part of the job that I really enjoy. You know, first is learning about all these different businesses and the varied industries that we work with, but it's building these relationships that that for me are priceless.
It's all about the relationships.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go ahead and get David into this conversation. So I want to hear more about this. I love what Starwood does, and we're going to get your coordinates later for that. But David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell me sort of what you did beforehand and what made you want to buy a business.
Yeah, so I spent 20-plus years at a corporate job, a very large company, very much enjoyed it. At some point, though, I came to I always said to myself, hey, if I don't enjoy what I'm doing and I get up in the morning, I don't want to go to work, then it's time to do something else. And a long time ago, I read a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And
oh, yeah, I love that book.
always been in the back of my mind that I've always wanted to own a business, but not really sure how to go about it. Well, one day I woke up and I said, man, I don't want to go to work anymore. So I started this process of, you know, okay, if I want to own a business, what do I do? And the first thing that popped in my mind was, well, if you're going to buy a house, you get a real estate agent. If you're going to buy a business, you find a business broker. So I searched around, found a few business brokers, and unfortunately, not much response, but Yasmin responded to me and said, hey, why don't you come in and have an interview? And so I had a few criteria in mind of what I was looking for. I knew that I didn't want to buy a franchise. I had some experience with that, and I just, you know, I just felt
regulations.
Like, yeah, I just felt like I didn't need somebody to oversee me to, you know, to go through the process. And the second thing was I wanted business to business. I didn't really want to do a retail type of business. So business services of some sort. And then a big thing for me was manufacturing. I always have wanted to build houses. I don't know why. I just feel like when at the end of the day, you know, when you're done, you look and you say, man, I created something. We did something.
Yeah, you can see what you did.
As opposed to the last, you know, 5-10 years, you know, I created another PowerPoint and another PowerPoint and another PowerPoint. So I just felt like I wanted to, at the end of the day, end up with something. And so in talking with Yasmin and kind of saying, hey, here's what I'm looking for, she said, I have a couple of ideas for you. But first, before we get that far, let's make sure you're the right fit.
I love that.
So I thought that was interesting, and that's probably what attracted me to that, you know, approach was that.
Like, hold on, we have to vet you. Oh, no, okay, all right.
Hey, wait a minute, I'm buying here. Is my money not green?
Exactly.
So it was kind of a good process to go through and really made me stop and think a little bit more about, okay, really, am I the right person for this? But I was pretty confident. I felt like, hey, you know, at my former job, I managed multiple departments. How hard can it be to manage a business? Little did I know.
But still, you're a smart guy. You're like, I always want to run my own business and start it. But the hardest part is like you think, at least when I think about starting a business, you're like, well, I have to come up with an innovative, creative idea. But no, then you go, all right, well, I can actually take something that's existing and I can do this. And it sort of just gives you the pieces that you need to achieve your dream. So I think that's awesome.
That's exactly right, because I felt like I'm a good manager of a process. But I don't have any unique skills. I'm not an artist. I'm not a professional in the sense of doctor, lawyer, that kind of thing. So I think a lot of people get stuck on that because they're like, well, I'm not unique in any way. Well, guess what? There's millions and millions of businesses that aren't unique. Mm-hmm. They just need good, solid management, yeah. And they need people to, you know, to lead and to direct people, and everybody needs a job. So mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, you're in this position where you're providing, you know, opportunities for people, and as long as your vision is big enough for them to fit their vision inside, they'll be with your organization, and your organization will grow. So that's been kind of life-changing for me and been a lot of fun along the way.
All right, so you said, all right, screw my job. I'm going to own my own business. I don't need that paycheck anymore. I'm just going to dive headfirst in there. So you land on Creative Impressions, and walk me through there. How was that? It's got to be a scary but exciting process.
Yeah, very scary and very exciting at the same time. One of the things that you mentioned was an existing business. I think you always have a better opportunity there, especially in the scenario like we did with Yasmin, where the previous owner is going to stay on and coach and counsel you a little bit, and that's exactly what happened in our situation. Brian was the previous owner, and he had basically bootstrapped that business from the beginning. And so I really looked to him for his kind of leadership and really education about the industry, because here I am. I don't know anything about the sign industry, design, any of that kind of thing. But I knew that we needed to grow, and I knew that you know, it could be done. So I felt pretty confident that I can learn anything as long as somebody's willing to teach me. And he was there willing to teach me. So we started from – I said I want to learn everything from how to make a sign, how to install a sign.
So you started from the ground up.
Ground up, yeah. I'll get dirty.
I bet he loved that, though. You're about to buy his baby, and then he sees the guy that he's going to sell it to. He's like, all right, this guy really wants to run my business and grow it.
Right. I think that's true because, you demonstrate that you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, and I think that further commits him to you to say, okay, this guy is for real. He really does want to do it. He doesn't want to stand back. And
he's not just playing business.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you need to be humble and not so, you know, sure, you have a lot of experience, 20 years in the corporate world, but that doesn't mean anything when you're moving to a new industry. So be humble and get in there and learn.
Definitely. That's great advice. Well, let's tell our listeners really about what Creative Impressions does, all the things that you guys do.
Yeah, so we are a design, manufacturer, and installer of all kinds of types of signs. So from campus wayfinding to city wayfinding, interior, exterior signs, all kinds of signs. It could be anywhere. I mean, if you just look around, you'll find signs everywhere, and all kinds of print media and that kind and that type of thing. So we've really kind of honed in on wayfinding, city wayfinding, as an area that we really enjoy. They're pretty good projects, pretty good size. You find now that a lot of small cities, they want some kind of brand recognition.
Definitely.
And so a designer, could be us, could be somebody else. Generally, it's somebody else will come in and design a package for them. But once it's designed, somebody has to manufacture it. And that's kind of where I feel Creative Impression's strength is that we can do the design, but we really focus on the manufacturing. And it's not massive manufacturing. It's, you know, light industrial manufacturing. But a lot of people don't want to get into that industry. It's mm-hmm. it's cumbersome, and it requires a lot of creative solutions to the problem, because everybody out there wants to design, but no one wants to create or actually make it. So it looks pretty on paper,
yeah.
but somebody's got to put it together.
Exactly, and designers are expensive, too, so to have on. But I love that, because you guys, you found a little niche that you're attacking in the market, so you took that little piece, and then you're like, well, this is what we do best, and we're going to do it better than anyone else, and we're not going to be a jack of all trades. We're going to focus on one thing, and we're going to do it the best. So I love that right there. That's a great business practice.
Yeah, I think that we've honed in there, and we like that area. We'll do other things, too. I kind of realize that, too, that when you start your own or you're with your own business, that you see opportunities everywhere, and that can almost give you a paralysis of opportunity where too many things to focus on. So you've got to just hone in on something and say, okay, this is what we're going to be really good at, and I think we can beat everybody at this.
Well, how are you getting the word out there about what you guys do and that we're the best at this? Is it all – do you just work hard and it's word of mouth, or how do you guys attack that?
Yeah, we're pretty much blue collar. Put your head down and just keep on going. And, you know, we've actually taken a look back over the last year and said, man, we did a lot of creative projects, really good stuff. But we're not telling anybody about it. I mean, we're using the referral, and the client is happy. And every time that we send somebody to say, hey, go ask how our work is, the raves are very good. The reviews are very nice. They're saying, hey, great job. But, you know, we're not really promoting ourselves enough. We just find the next job and go to work.
Exactly. And I'm sure your client retention is probably close to 100%, if not 100%.
Yeah, there's always some follow-up signs, especially in these city wayfinding projects. Unfortunately, people knock signs down sometimes, and so we got to build another one.
Those darn kids.
So
what's the next step for your company? What are you guys thinking about? Are you growing? Are you going to buy another business? Are you going to keep this as it is, and this is perfect for you?
We're just going to keep growing. That's what we need to do. We're trying to bring on more staff. That's the key for growth. You kind of have this chicken and egg scenario I think a lot of small businesses struggle with, is that you know that you want to grow, but in order to grow, you've got to commit some more, you know, expenses, and you've got to bring on some additional people. So I've struggled with that over the last year, but I just know that the only way that we can move forward is just keep growing. Yeah. So we don't necessarily need to expand the market much. I think we just got to get better at what we're doing already.
Definitely. And I know what you mean about that. That's definitely a struggle. Whenever you're hiring someone new, it's making an investment in someone. It's really an investment because when you're a small business, you don't have that money to throw a whole new salary at an employee. So you have to really pick them carefully, and that can make or break and change your business dramatically.
Yeah, I was recently talking to Brian about that. One of the things that I mentioned was that I remember when I worked in the corporate world, you have lots and lots of resources. And so if you see an opportunity, you just assign a couple of people to that and say, hey, you go figure that out and see whether or not there's money to be made. When you're a small business owner, you don't have a couple of extra people with lots of spare time on their hands. So you've got to do it yourself, or you've got to, like you said, make an investment and bring that person in and be very clear to them that this is why I'm bringing you on. You're here to grow this revenue or grow that segment. If you don't do it in the next 30 days, I'm sorry, but the next person in line is going to have to take a shot at it.
Definitely. So you're growing your business, you're doing great, and you're happy where you're at.
Yeah.
I love that. Yasmin, you have to be like beaming with pride right here. And you're building stuff. He's paying the bills. He's happy. I mean, you can't
thrilling.
Beat that experience.
It's really exciting for me. And that's why, again, Dave, I really wanted Dave to come on and be a guest on the show, because not only of what he was able to accomplish after he took over the business, but the overall relationship that he still has with the previous owner of the business, Brian, to me, that's really the ideal. And I'm so proud to say that the vast majority of our transactions do end up like this, where the owner, the buyers, and the sellers develop, you know, relationships and help each other out, and sometimes friendships for a long period of time, because it does go back to, like Dave said from the beginning, pre-screening this person. Are you the right fit for them? That's why the business owners hire us, so that we can go through the process of pre-screening and making sure we're only bringing them the right people.
Well, I think that's huge also, since you're vetting both sides of it, and you want to make the best pair, and you guys really are very pro-business. You want everyone to succeed,
absolutely,
and it's a win-win for everybody. You can wake up and feel good. You get to see, like, stuff feel good, and you're not just, like, taking people's money. It's not transactional at all.
No, a lot of people, you know, are like that, but I'm not like that. I mean, my personal philosophy is I would never list a business that I would not feel comfortable selling to a member of my own family, and that's just the truth. And I wouldn't want to put – I mean, Dave, if he was my brother, would I feel comfortable selling him this business? That's the way I treat everybody, because whether you have, you know, $5 million to invest in a business or $50,000 to invest in a business, you've worked really hard to save that up, and we take that seriously, and we want to make sure that you get the best investment out of it.
Well, like you said, it's relationships.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
I'll say, too, that during that process, there were two interviews with Brian. Part of that interview was for him to interview me, but also for me to interview him to see, you know, we're going to be working pretty closely together, and can we actually get along with each other? So Yasmin said before we met, I think you guys will hit it off really well, and we did hit it off really well. And so I think that was a good part of it for me and for Brian to feel comfortable that, hey, I'm handing this over to somebody that I think, you know, that I like, that I can work with, that I can build a relationship with.
And having a third-party person there to sort of help just transition the process that knows, has done this many times before, then that helps with that too. So you probably didn't have to build up too much scar tissue going through the process.
Yeah, that first meeting was a little bit awkward. You know, I'm here to buy your business.
It's like it's a first date. You sit down, hey, how you doing?
It was, but you know, as you can see, everything went really well. And even throughout the process of negotiating the structure of the deal and the sale, because Brian felt we had a really good fit here with Dave and somebody who's going to take good care of the business and run with it in a good, strong way, he was willing to make some concessions on structure and financing that he may not have otherwise been willing to make, because it was the right person, it was the right fit. So that's what it's all about, making sure you get the right person in there who's going to take care of that business.
I love it. Well, let's get some coordinates. We'll start with you, Dave. How do people reach out and contact you to get these signs made?
Yeah, so our website is creativeimpressions-signs.com. It's probably the easiest way. You can find me on LinkedIn, David Weiser, W-E-I-S-S-E-R, or you can just call us at 770-582-9936.
I love it. And Yasmin, Starwood Business Group?
Yeah, starwoodbusinessgroup.com. Everything is on there, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. We've got it all.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Kent Hill with Kent's Country Cookies, and he's our headliner. He's sitting there patiently. He was shaking his head, making funny faces the whole time, and just having a blast. Well, Kent, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about Kent's Country Cookies. So I did a little bit of research. You guys have really fresh, not a lot of preservatives, or it's fresh ingredients, right?
Absolutely, fresh, all natural, and really a very, you know, simple concept in and around.
I'll just talk directly into the mic.
Okay, I'm sorry. Really a simple concept around making, you know, really outstanding cookies out of very, very, you know, fresh and organic and materials, and basically using a ram. Recipe from my grandmother, and it really has a lot of fans out there, so it was something we wanted to bring to the market. And you guys were speaking of relationships earlier, and our business is really built around relationships and helping people build relationships, and that was really the you know, the engine behind the train when we started.
Definitely. Well, I can just see you as a little kid eating your grandmother's cookies and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm going to eat cookies for the rest of my life. And it's sort of like you're living the dream right there.
Well, it didn't quite happen quite that way.
Well, tell us about it.
I was a football player and went to Georgia Tech went to the NFL. Spent 9 years in the NFL, and after graduating or after retiring, Went back to Georgia Tech, and so I've done a number of different things in terms of from a business standpoint, and David mentioning earlier about the franchise opportunities, and I've done some of that, and a lot of things in real estate, and then I have a consulting business. So, the cookie business really came about. Again, it was what I felt like was an opening and an opportunity to really fill a gap. And because oftentimes, you get a gift and people are reaching out and they give a gift and they have very good intentions, particularly when you're talking about a product that you eat. And then you open the gift and you get it and the best thing was the box.
Does this person really like me?
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought we could do justice to that part, and not only that, but also understanding the whole idea around relationship building, and everything kind of runs on that, from a marriage to you name it. I mean, it's really about relationships, and particularly if you're going to build a business. And so we thought that really, if we make it very easy and convenient for business people. Mm-hmm. To reach out to their customers and really let them know that they value them as customers and as people and as friends and what a relationship is, then we could really make that easy and make that meaningful for them. And so that's what we've set out to do.
Well, I love that. And you have to think about the ROI of relationships is huge, and it doesn't take that much, just the thought to send out some really tasty cookie to somebody, but the ROI way outweighs that. So that it's a great value.
Absolutely. And really taking making it easy for the customer to customize. You know, they want to include whatever that message is.
Yeah.
And also keep it memorable for them in terms of, you know, their logo being present and those kinds of things. So we just really try to reach out and make it whatever would make it really identify with them and say what they want to say, then that's what we try to do.
All right. Well, I have an idea for you that I just thought about. What if people had membership programs? If I paid you a certain amount a month and I get to send out some cookies, and then maybe if I know I'm going to forget my mom's birthday, let's say, I could just sign up and be like, this is my mom's birthday. Make sure you send her some cookies. I could set it up one time, and then you guys do all the rest. And mm-hmm. I look like the hero, and I don't have to remember it because I have a horrible memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be awesome.
Cookie of the Month Club.
Idea. I'll send you some cookies for that. We'll do that.
Definitely.
For sure.
So let's talk about the cookies, though. What kind of cookies do you have? Do you only have cookies, or how does that work?
We only do cookies. We stay in my
perfect. Yeah, the niche. We talked about the niche earlier.
Just an old football player. So we make two types of cookies, actually. We make five different flavors of chocolate chip.
Ooh.
And we also make oatmeal raisin. There's nothing in the cookies that you couldn't pronounce or read by the time you're in the third grade.
All right, perfect. So I don't have to really keep Benzimol or whatever
got none of that. It's an all natural. We don't use any preservatives, but we get a lot of feedback that, you know, these are the best cookies they ever people have ever had, and so we really value that and take pride in that. And again, you know, whoever sends them probably gets remembered very fondly from that point on.
Definitely. If I get a packet and there's seven different kinds of chocolate chip, it's like I feel really special. It's unique, each one. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So were you guys planning to grow your business in the future? Are you satisfied where you're at? Do you want more customers or?
Well, absolutely. We want more customers. And one of the ways that ours has grown has been by referral too, and we want to definitely expand on that, because I think there are a lot of people who would really benefit and enjoy what we do that don't know about us. So we want to take every opportunity to expand that, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on today and talk about it. because, and again, the way that we try to approach it is a bit unique in terms of you know, the personalized and really focusing on that individual customer and what they need and making it easy for them. So, we're definitely open for new business and going after it. When we see where there's an opportunity, then we really try to put our head in the ring.
All right. Are you planning to maybe grow this business and exit it from it? Are you going to keep this? And you're like, this is my grandmother's recipe. I'm going to stay with this for my life. This is going to be one of my businesses for the rest of my life. My kids are going to help me run this.
Well, actually, as I was listening to the interview earlier, it started me thinking about a little bit about it. But we're much too early in the game to do that. Yeah. We started in 08.
Okay.
And it's still a small business. But we started from scratch. And so we're kind of building our way. I have a 23-year-old son who's hoping to be more interested. He's working in the business some right now, but
23-year-olds, I can speak from experience. When I was 23, it's just you still don't know what you want to do with your life.
Well, exactly. Sterling is right there, and.
But if you decide to sell, we can definitely work out an arrangement for
okay.
cookies for I don't know, something.
Yeah.
We'll work out a deal.
Well, thank you. But yeah, that was one of the things in terms of listening to your interview that started me to at least, you know, thinking about that and perhaps in thinking about that, maybe do some things differently over the next little while when you have a different introduce a different eventuality. Sometimes you to do some things differently just to set up for that in case that is the way we want to go.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, where are you guys located?
We're at kenscountrycookies.com.
All right.
We have our bakery is a production facility.
Okay.
So we don't have customers there. We do deliver in Metro Atlanta, but we ship all over the country. And the best way to reach us is kentscountrycookies.com. It's K-E-N-T-S at countrycookies.com.
Perfect. So I can just go online and order cookies, and I can set up an account. I can fake like I'm sending to everyone else and just keep buying them for myself.
Well, you could do that too. we'll definitely take care of you there.
And do you guys work just primarily with you have individual customers, but do you ever have like businesses that are just partnered up and they just order cookies from you as gifts? Or?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, most of our clients they're either membership organizations or sales organizations, and they've got members and you know sales they're making every month, and they send those cookies out, and so we just take care of that for them and kind of make it automatic, and very personal to them. The other thing is we do sell our cookies in Whole Foods.
Really?
Whole
okay.
Foods markets carry our cookies as well.
All right. I can see that. It's so much better than being in the sales world. Instead of sending a white paper, trying to get someone to send them cookies mm-hmm. first, and that makes the conversation really easy after that.
Well, so. It's definitely a great, great door opener.
Definitely. Well, mm-hmm. Kent, thank you so much for taking your time out of the day and telling us about this. We'd love to hear about great businesses.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Well, let's get that website just one more time for our listeners.
Okay. It's kentscountrycookies.com.
All right, perfect. And thanks to everyone today. Yasmin, thanks for being coming back on and bringing a client. So it's always a pleasure. And we hope to have you guys back. We got plenty of shows. We'd love to have you guys back on.
Absolutely.
Great guests. Keep the lifeblood moving here at Business
Radio
X.
Anytime there's cookies, I'll be here.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.